Okay, Cap Figure Podcast, Episode 7, and Mike Francesa is back. Thank you, Mike. I can't thank you enough for another chance. I'm sorry about last time. You said before we start you have one request. Anything. What is it? Shoot.
Can we watch WrestleMania?
What? Me and you? Where?
Put it on your TV upstairs in your area.
Okay, I guess I'll order it. You know, I gotta keep you happy, and you're Mike Francesa. You're a legend, after all. I'll pay the $60, even though I don't have it. So for you, it's done. It's ordered. We're gonna watch. Can I ask why you want to watch it? Is there some delusionally arrogant name drop answer, or is it because you follow the storylines and the themes?
So I know nothing of the themes. Okay, obviously I know Vince McMahon. I mean, I've known him a long time. It's not we don't hang out together, but I know him.
Okay, so delusional, arrogant, name drop answer, I guess. So, can I ask you some questions about sports? Like, you know, now that I bought this, can we do the interview?
Listen, you can watch this. I'll come back at 7 and make sure the pay-per-view starts, because sometimes pay-per-views are a little weird. They don't start or anything.
Wait, what? No, please, wait. I want to get on with the interview. That's why I ordered the fight. Don't leave, please. That's rude. So I want to get your opinion on this A-Rod audio. I don't have the ability to play it here on the show, but...
Why don't you find out what you can do or can't do in there? So find out what your capability... I mean, nice if you had someone there who could figure out what capabilities you do have.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to have to cut you off. I can't let you bash the show on my air. Mike, I can't. I would, but it's out of batteries, and I don't have another set. We wasted all our time talking about WrestleMania. So... I know, honey. Okay, thank you for joining me. Thank you. Yes, you can be a little spoon. Okay, bye. Number 33, Masahiro Tanaka. So, sorry, I was trying to record some intros for the Yankees while I do the podcast. This is Cap Figure Podcast, Episode 7. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Hi, name McGee.
Hi, my name is Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom McLaughlin. So... I got Mike Francesa back. We got to up the budget here. That time wasn't my fault. The mics ran out of battery. I don't know what you want me to do about that. That certainly shouldn't have hurt my stock options, no?
Well, we're holding you to a high standard here, but you're improving, so I'll let you slide on this one.
Yeah, I know that there are some in the board of directors who are worried about my attitude with the Stephen A. Smith, but whatever. So that's why I just ordered the fight, no questions. I'm negative in the bank. And I don't even have an upstairs in my apartment that Mike referenced that'll put it in my TV room upstairs. It's a one-room apartment I have here, but I just let it slide. You know, for him, we went up into my neighbor's house just to keep him happy.
I think it's just an example. You know, you have TWTW, the will to win.
So
you're all in for this, man.
Yes, I do. And also, that was the Masahiro Tanaka intro song that you referenced last week, that his amazing pump-up music. So... Welcome.
Oh, yeah, and I said that my friend Dave took me to that game, and he actually, you know, he knocked me for not giving him a shout-out. So, Dave, I'm giving you a shout-out. Thank you for bringing me to that game and introducing me to this
amazing
song.
Yeah. Well put. Yeah, Dave, thank you. None of this would be possible without Tanaka. So, you know, the trade deadline's today. It's August 1st that we're recording this. So we're going to talk about the Rockies most of the episode because they're an interesting team with their offense and whatnot. But real quick, you say the Mets, what's good with the Mets? Give me some – I'm going to go through a couple of them, ask you some updates. I was at the opening night of Cats last night, and I was telling Tom that there were some that I was getting aroused by. The musical Cats, and then I realized they might be dudes, half of them, so I had to stop getting aroused.
But yeah, so you just hit the pause button on that.
So anyway,
so yeah, this morning, a lot of speculation that Jay Bruce is heading to the Mets in exchange for Brandon Nimmo and two lower level prospects. Jay Bruce is in a walk year. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's leading the NL in RBIs. It's a move that, I mean, you'd obviously like to have Jay Bruce and that left-handed bat, influx into that lineup right now. But where is he going to play? You have four corner outfielders now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they really should have been focused on Lucroy instead. The only thing that is a huge positive from this, I believe, is, remember, Cespedes is, is Bruce under contract one more year, I think? Yeah, he does. He actually has 1 year left. So it's sort of an insurance policy in case Cespedes leaves. And,
right.
You know, you could bring that into the negotiations.
No, that's good. And I think this is Granderson's last year. So, or he may have one more. But either way, Cespedes is definitely walking. But didn't you say that that they're reviewing, they might not want him? You just this moment as we're recording this.
Yeah, so that was the speculation. And then right before we went on air, Ken Rosenthal had some tweet. He's the insider from MLB Network that the Reds were actually concerned with the medical
history. Oh, the Reds were?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the Mets about Jay Bruce, like Carlos Gomez last year.
It was actually the Reds, so.
So it may be, it's not officially done yet as of this moment.
It's not official.
Okay,
yet.
Word up. Okay, cool. I mean, Jay Bruce has been good. They say his defensive metrics are like very bad, very negative, but I mean, whatever. Like, he's there for the bat. The Mets need it enough, you know? And we're not, like we talked about last week, we're average at so many positions. It's you want to upgrade when you can, if you can get rid of some injured Nimmo, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. What about your Yankees? You got your wish, man. You got to go buy the A-Rod 500 hat now, or whatever. What's the milestone?
Oh, the A-Rod 700 home
Yo,
run.
Yo, you made a promise. You got to keep it. You begged the Yankees to sell and said you'd buy that one day useless memorabilia hat.
Well,
you got
yeah.
your wish. What did the Yankees get?
I'm going to go through with that wish, and I think I may even get a customized one with, you know, initials on it. So the Yankees... The Yankees are all in on a rebuilding process. I'm extremely excited. Basically, Brian Cashman, again, it's amazing how he has totally restocked the farm system seemingly no assets. I mean, the Yankees now have seven prospects in the top 100.
You're such a fan. You're talking like they're all in on a rebuild. You're so Skip Bayless. They're semi-in on a rebuild, and they're semi-rebuilt the farm, no?
Yeah, I mean, they're still, obviously, if they can make the playoffs this year, they're going to try to, but without, you know, the core competency that they had of the bullpen, I just don't see them making the playoffs. I think it's, you know, you have those big contracts that are coming off. Teixeira this year, Beltran's also a free agent. You have CC Sabathia and A-Rod's contract for next year. So between those two, that's about $90 million a year. You know, that money's going to be used up in 2018 when you see Machado, Harper, Jose Fernandez on the free agent market. So build the best team you can right now with these prospects and then hope to score two or three of those guys in that market.
What'd you get for Miller? You were telling me he has long red hair.
Yeah, so the Yankees, the two key parts of that trade were outfielder Clint Frazier, who is Sideshow Bob with the hair. He has like a long red flow. He's gonna have to get a haircut apparently, but he's
I forgot,
power hitting outfielder. The scouting reports, I know this is such a stretch and I don't agree with it, but they are calling him a poor man's Mike Trout, and he has the potential to produce that power, which, you know, I mean, I'm going to take that as it is. He's not going to be Mike Trout, but
I feel like you only say that, like, you probably read that about a lot of prospects, and you only mention that with the Yankees ones, but I like you having a little homerism.
And then the other piece was Justice Sheffield, a left-handed starting pitcher prospect, actually the nephew of Gary Sheffield. He's also a top 100 prospect, left-handed starting pitcher, projects to be a middle to end of the rotation guy. The Yankees definitely need that. And
But how far away are these guys? These are what, in what A?
Frazier's at AAA. He was the Futures game. He should be
good
in 2017.
So you better get some sick stuff. He's a lefty, right?
He's a right-handed hitter.
Oh, so So I don't like him anymore. I mean, the red hair is sweet, but well, I guess if you had red hair and you're a lefty, then they put you like you're a defective human, and you can't, you're not allowed to live.
But since he's a right-handed hitter and a redhead,
they let you have one deformity: either you're left-handed or a redhead,
or you're Justin Turner.
Oh God, no, he's a righty though.
Yeah, so he's joining the ranks of Justin Turner.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, I just think it was totally necessary for the Yankees to, you know, you're taking two relief pitchers.
Yeah, in a season
that's not even close. Next year is not even close. It's just a smart move.
And the other teams are idiots. The Cubs are retarded for trading all that for Chapman. But let's not get into that. We want to talk about the Rockies. But wait, was there any other big, like, trades today that I don't know about?
Well, one of the big ones was that the Dodgers acquired both Josh Reddick and Rich Hill from the Oakland A's.
What'd they give up?
I think that they gave up two of their top-tier, but not top prospects.
Not Urias or Seager or anything like that?
No. It was two right-handed pitchers, I believe, in the lower ranks, but... You know, Josh Reddick's going to be a free agent. Oakland had been working or trying to get an extension with him. It just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But what's interesting about this is now Yasiel Puig, is he going to be on the move? Because
yeah, I got to bench him. I have him in my family. I was thinking about putting Melky in this week for Yasiel. I got to bench that dude.
You got to.
And Rich Hill's been killing it. I mean, he's hurt right now. He's on the DL, but that might just be for the trade or something, right? Like, he may be fine.
Yeah, it was he's on the DL for like a blister. So I think that
they didn't want him to start again before they traded him thing.
That could very well be it.
Is that everything? Is that the crash course trade deadline?
Those are, I would say, the big names. Chris Sale, there's a lot of speculation about that. There's a lot of speculation about Archer. Archer, I don't see being moved.
Yeah, that'd be so stupid. It's such a bad season. Why would you trade him now?
Yeah, absolutely. And Sale, I'm sure the asking price is really high, and quite frankly, there's no real rush to move him, so I don't really see the White Sox moving him.
Only because he's a brat, but I would hold, if I were an owner, I would hold a player like him out of spite. Like, you don't get to be a little baby and then get your way, like, you know? But
yeah, well, Hawkhead is back, so.
I was just going to say, you know, when you cut up a jersey, man, that's showing me the will to win. He just wants to win. And when you want to win, you can do whatever you want, no matter who you hurt around you or no matter how much perspective you lose, that you're making millions and you have an employer. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, that's the stupid, real quick. That's the stupidest thing about the Chris Sale argument is that, of course, he can think, like, yeah, they want to make money over winning. If they don't make money, you don't have a job, you idiot.
Yeah.
Like you don't make millions. It's like you need fans. You need the money. You need the revenue. It's a prerequisite to you existing in this world, you dingus.
Yeah, and to build a good team, you need to make money.
Right. It's like, what the heck? Like, you're not there to win games. You're there because you are an asset that makes them money by winning games. But you're not there just to win games for the sake of winning games.
I totally agree.
Because it's a fact. That's why you agree.
According to Hawk, he's a winner with an H.
Last thing, I have this I have this mic on a McCann box. And when you talked about this dude, Clint, what's his name?
Clint Frazier.
Clint Frazier having to cut his hair. I thought of all our empathy. We felt so bad the first time we saw Brian McCann when he used to be able to have a beard.
Oh,
and then when
God.
He had to shave it, he looks so much worse without a beard. We felt terrible for him. But then we felt less bad because I'd be willing to look hideous for $90 million or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure he's fine, but that sucks. I hope Clint Frazier looks all right without his long red hair. So that's the basics of the trade deadline for a schmo like me watching cats out of commission for the last hours. But so the Rockies, we decided to look a little bit at the Rockies. One, because they're in my mind because they were about to sweep the Mets this weekend, and it really hurt us. I'm on the Mets, but no, they ended up winning 3 out of 4, and they ended up 4 games back or 5 games back of the wild card. It helped them a lot and hurt the Mets, but also
they're 5 games back.
Okay,
yeah.
They're 5 games back now, and whatever. It's like they're not going to make it, but they just. they're an interesting team because they're so unique. You know, obviously they stand alone with their park. So I asked you maybe like a state of the Rockies currently and how you would possibly rebuild it. And this includes a philosophical like look at, you know, like how do you rebuild a place where their offense is so much more. And before I ask you, just the one number, so park factor, which I didn't understand how the number worked until today, is park. So the Rockies scored 142. This is from 2010 to 2016. For the average baseball team's 100 runs in Colorado, there were 142 runs scored. And for the average baseball team's 100 homers, there were 135 homers in Colorado. And the park factor is the mean between those two numbers, so their 138 is their park factor. The whole rest of all of baseball is between 118 and 85, except for San Francisco at 76. But all of baseball between 118 and 85, and they're at 138. So I mean, everybody knows it. I just wanted one number to illustrate it.
So it's basically almost saying there's about 42% more home runs hit in Colorado than in the league.
Right. 42% more runs, 35% more home runs.
Got it.
Yeah, imagine their dimensions were little, but yeah, just, so yeah, 38 more offense. No, right, I don't know. Yeah, that's weird that they took the mean between the two. Right. 42% more runs though scored there. That's a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's telling.
What were your first takeaways, I guess, or what's your thought process looking at the State of the Union or thinking about the future for the Rockies?
So when I went into this, I tried to keep an open mind because for some reason when I was starting this process, I kind of just had a negative and pessimistic sort of mindset as to where they were going. For some reason, they kind of struck me as a stale team the past few years.
Well, because they've been about 80 wins or like 80 wins every year recently. So I think of them the same way.
But what I actually found is, you know, the Rockies are definitely on the upswing. They are, as you said, 5 games back, but they have one of the best farm systems in the league. They're finally starting to produce promising young starting pitching.
Yeah, get out of this hyperbole BS. Just tell me straight. Shoot me straight, Tom. Sorry, go on. I just want to be like a hard interviewer, but you're my co-host. That's stupid.
So one of the best farm systems. They're finally, you know, John Gray, Jeff Hoffman.
Who's Jeff Hoffman?
He was acquired in the Tulo trade to the Blue Jays. He's Jeff Hoffman's son, and he is pitching in AAA. He's set to come up, I would say, later this year, early next year. Promising young starting pitcher. Chatwood has had a pretty solid year out of the rotation, too. Look, their pitching is in the bottom half of the league, which is totally to be expected. But you know, this team has a lot of good young pieces in place, a very deep farm system, and, you know, every team is going to have those contracts. Like, I look at Gerardo Parra's contract,
but isn't every team also going to have? Isn't every team also going to have a way to lie to themselves? Like, they are like probably 25 teams in the league can look at their farm system and say, oh, we're on the up and up, but they aren't all. You know what I mean? Like, you really believe it in this case?
Yeah, absolutely. I do really believe it in this case. You know, one thing when I'm looking at the prospect rankings is I generally, you know, I tend to favor more the elite talent in farm systems as opposed to the depth. So I'm looking for a couple of players that are really going to stick out.
Word.
And the Rockies, you know, this is maybe by random chance, but staggered throughout their system, they have elite prospects at every level at different positions. You know, Brendan Rodgers was the number one rated prospect going into the 2015 draft. The Rockies have him. He's a lower level player. You know, you saw Trevor Story come up this year. He's having an absolute impact right away. Nolan Arenado is still only 25 years old.
Yeah, they have him. He's not a free agent until 2020. So, but, okay. I just don't, like, I guess I get you. Like, John Gray is playing well. You know, what is it? four out of five of their starters are 27 or younger. Like, that's cool. But, like, but how can you be excited for a franchise? They traded for Jake McGee, which they looked right because Dickerson sucks. But how do you get a release? Like, I don't know. It's like, philosophically, I guess you have to have somebody pitch. But, like, that was a bust. The Reyes, even though maybe they got this prospect coming, they totally just ate crap on the Reyes, like, the 2-0 deal. And, again, they look correct in that Tulo's not hit well at all, right? He's, like, the 13th best shortstop in WAR in all of baseball this year. And same with Dickerson's been horrible, so...
Look, I think I really can't justify taking back Reyes in the Tulo deal, but you could kind of see where they're going with that Dickerson for Jake McGee deal, because think about, look what Chapman and Miller just got on the trade market in terms of value for. McGee was a pretty good left-handed relief pitcher.
That's a good point.
If you can get one of those, look what you can flip it for.
Right, that's the price. Well, and, yeah, even flipping aside, if they thought they might be good this year, that's the price of a reliever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dickerson was hurt last year, and he sucks this year, so they're good. What about, like, I don't know, like, they don't have, who's leaving? Carlos Gonzalez is definitely, maybe we'll trade him, right?
Well, speculation has actually been lately that, you know, they're in the race, so they're not going to trade him right now. They can still trade him in the offseason because he signed through next year, but there's actually been speculation that they are considering giving him an extension and moving him long term to first base, which, you know, look, there's more to players than just on the field performance, and Cargo really kind of is the fan favorite there right now, I would say. So I don't agree with keeping him around long term, but look, this outfield market was so deep, you weren't going to get true value for Cargo in the, you know, in the trade market right now.
Right. Not with his contract, like, you know, not with his contract, I guess. I mean, so philosophically, like, if you were them, would you just bail on, like, maybe they do this and I don't know, but like, I feel like I would want to just, I guess on one hand you could make a case where it's like, all right, let me just get a bunch of Dickersons who are really good at home and not going to be good on the road if we trade them, and then try to trade them for elite pitching, which for a year McGee is, you know, relievers are fickle, but whatever, you get my point. It's like, let's try to just, like, get these young, awesome hitters that are going to look great here, trade them for some great pitching, but no matter what, the pitching doesn't play there, so, like, then again, it's like, it's such a unique situation. It's like, do you just bail out and just go all in on the offense? But they have a great offense and it's not really working.
Well, I actually thought a lot about this because that's obviously the huge concern. It's probably why the last few GMs have been fired, not being able to find, you know, those starting pitchers who have the confidence and the wherewithal to kind of, you know, go through the ups and downs of pitching at Coors Field and form, like, a solid young rotation.
That's a good point real quick. Yeah, the makeup stat in the show, when you make a baseball player, it has makeup. And I'm like, I don't care about makeup. I just want velocity and break. But if you're going to pitch at Coors every other start, you need mental toughness.
I think if I were the GM, the way that I would approach that is I would go to these young players. You know, Riley Pint, they just drafted this year in the first round. He's another, you know, great starting pitching prospect in the system. Last year, Mike Nikorak was a high school pitcher drafted out of Pennsylvania. You know, so they have a lot of these guys in the system. I would, you know, the story that I would kind of parlay to them is, look, there's so much more information available. Look, that park adjusted number you just gave me, you know, the league is going to pay you when you're a free agent, your true value. Everybody knows it's harder to pitch at Coors Field. So the story I would kind of be telling them is, you know, look, if you can come in here and you can pitch, your numbers may be a little bit higher, but if you can actually, you know, be like a justifiable starter or a rotation guy in Coors, you know, there's the potential for you when you do become a free agent to cash in big. And, you know, you just need to find those guys that have that confidence.
Well, I don't even know. Well, but yeah, I guess that addresses part of it. Like, if they could stick with it, but, like, I guess what I'm asking, it wouldn't even be about, like, forget the players if they're on board or not. They have no choice. They're drafted and they have to play there. And also, I don't know that the league is smart enough to adjust to pay them correctly. But I do get you. Well, that's why I like John Gray, though, in part, speaking of the makeup, because he says that there were some, you know, he strikes out a lot of guys, and he said that when he's at home, he just tries to blow it by people. Like, he knows he's going to give up a ton, but he just wants to strike out as many guys as possible, and when he's on the road is when he tries to finesse it. And that fits in with the, you know, all the theory and the articles written about it's not just the altitude that the ball flies, it's that balls don't break as much in the dryness, right? So, like, so with that said, there's the other part. Within building an organization, I would just want all flamethrowers because that plays there, right? It's like if you can get a bunch of guys who throw hard, you can't have Dallas Keuchels there. It won't work.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. The prior GM, Dan O'Dowd, he put together a very successful team of players, but when he was building the pitching rotation, his sort of MO was to go after players that threw sinking pitches, whether it was, you know, like a flat out sinker or two seam pitches with movement. And exactly what you're saying, the movement just was not the same in the high altitude, and these guys were just getting smashed.
But that's a good thought to try to get ground ball pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it. I like his idea. That's interesting.
But the problem is, you know, when it doesn't break,
right?
Then
you're giving up epic hit smash balls, like.
But I think, you know, you're definitely right that you need to find guys with hit and miss stuff. And if there's any team that will ever start, you know, that idea of like having nine relievers or three relievers going three innings each. I think Colorado would be the place for that.
That's a good point. And they, you know, their offensive players could do so well, so easily. They could even like start less guy, you know, have one extra spot. That would be so cool, man. They should do that.
Yeah, because think about it. You would actually get a hitter instead of the pitcher each time through the lineup, basically, if you do kind of do it that way. So it's, you know, a regular position player off the bench subs in every time you have a pitcher come to the plate. They're obviously going to be a better hitter than the pitcher would be.
I guess they have to do something unique because they have to think outside the box, you know. So either I like this idea, like having three inning pitchers or something like that, if it's possible. They'd have to like totally change the game and change their farm system, and they'd have players coming in who are like, "What do you mean I pitch one inning?" Or "What do you mean I pitch six innings?"
Yeah,
it would be a big long effort. Or
players wouldn't be on board because then they think they wouldn't get paid if you're a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And you only pitch three innings.
Well,
it's
screw
like
them. I mean, yeah. They get on board, you schmuckle. And the other thing with this that makes it hard. The other thing is, I'm talking is if you can just find guys that throw 96 who start, you know, it's like, it's not that easy to just find guys who throw that hard.
Well, one thing I would say is look at the game, look at the guys coming out of the bullpen. And I think that the way baseball is trending, where a lot more pitchers are throwing the ball harder and out of the bullpen, especially strikeouts are king right now. Like your hit and miss stuff and your strikeout rate, they're like the first stats you look at with prospects. You know, that is actually, I think, just a trend in the game that is going to be helpful to the Rockies long term. If players are developed from a younger age to focus more on strikeouts as opposed to, say, like true tactical pitching and finessing
well,
the ball.
Well, but there's different types of strikeouts. Like, I mean, it has to be velocity specifically at Coors, right?
Sure.
Because there are guys who strike out with like Estrada or whatever, with a sick like change in speed,
right?
Or some crazy breaking ball like Rich Hill. Rich Hill would get eaten there. He can't pitch there.
Either way, you know, velocity has been trending up, and it's
yes, no, no. Your point is absolutely right.
Absolutely right.
And I guess I could get excited about the team because I didn't know Charlie Blackmon is there for another 2 years. Because he's 30, I assumed, but he's not a free agent until 2019. And Nolan Arenado is obviously pretty cute, you know. He has like a good jaw. Oh wait, what are we talking about? Baseball. So no, but I mean, he's cool, you know. That other dude who just sells out to hit home run. He's like the Chris Davis of shortstops.
Trevor Story.
Do you hate him?
No, I don't particularly like him.
He's like who you hate, like second in strikeouts in baseball or something.
But you know, like, in some of the research we did, they project the 2019 lineup if you have a shortstop that moves over to second base and can hit there, you know, I definitely can find a spot for Story on this team.
Yeah, I'll take 30 homers anywhere. You know, I'll take 30 homers and hitting 220 at any infield spot except first, basically there.
Now, that's actually the big question with this team long term. The two questions are catcher and first baseman. Everything else, sort of, there's a picture and an idea of who's going to be there in the next couple of years.
Every other offensive spot.
But first base, you know, that idea of re-signing Cargo and maybe moving him there because they're, you know, their farm system with close to MLB-ready talent includes a lot of outfielders, so Cargo may not have a spot there. So that's an interesting question, is what are they going to do at first base and what are they going to do at catcher?
I feel like if you're the Rockies, you got to be able to kind of easily find a first baseman, like somebody who can field enough and just hit. But that's me oversimplifying everything. You need a first base. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at this year, their first baseman is Mark Reynolds, and his numbers aren't particularly that good. So that is, you know, when we were talking about areas of improvement for teams, if you can find a true hitting first baseman, that would make a big difference on this team. And the same thing goes with catcher because, you know, they really just have below average MLB talent at both of those positions.
I got an idea, Mike. This is a sports caller to Mike Francesa. Mike, I got a trade for the Rockies. The Rockies change Nolan Arenado to a starter, right? He could start and he could hit in the lineup.
Starting pitcher?
His starting pitcher. He could pitch three innings, two games a week, right? And then you trade back Fatullo, right? You give them Carlos Gonzalez, Fatullo, and then you put Tulo at first base. What do you think of that, Mike? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Mike, I don't know about that trade, boy.
When Bryce Harper comes, so whatever. I mean, yo, or Buster Olney. Oh, I forgot. This is the other thing I want to mention. We're done soon, but Buster Olney was talking about that he thinks the Rockies should get even more creative. They should be a place where they're experimenting with shifts even more and maybe having four outfielders or something like that all the time because of... I don't need to finish that sentence.
Yeah, and I think that another trend in the game that's going to be coming very soon is traditionally third basemen, you know, the idea of thinking of them, they're
third baseman.
Sometimes like not really that athletic of a player. Based on, you know, Trevor Story potentially moving to second, Brendan Rodgers coming up, Arenado at third, having a really athletic infield with the shifts helps even more. So I just like the versatility, the players they have in place. And
bro, how gangster would that be? Just have Nolan Arenado be short, like get rid of the shortstop, and just have Nolan Arenado take care of everywhere between third and second.
Rover.
And then have a rover, have like Trevor Story or whatever, whoever else. I don't know, like Discalce or DJ LeMayu, one of their other guys, like play a rover.
But yeah, that's it. So I think those are pretty good ideas. I think, you know, that idea of the bullpen with those three guys pitching three innings and then switching them every other day. I think that would be something that they kind of have to be thinking about. You know, the game, I would say, is heading that way more towards reversing back to like the 1960s where starting pitchers stay in game.
No, this is going to happen like one day that it's going to be like three inning pitchers or something. And maybe the Rockies could start. Same with shifts. Like, I mean, this is what makes baseball so cool, man, is that, like, in football, there's no, maybe you say the hyperbole, like, the rhetoric, like, oh, you build your team to go on the road in the cold weather. It's like, shut up. Like, you still want to throw well. You know, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I guess you want to run, and we want to run the ball and play good defense. It's like, shut up. Everybody does.
Don't turn it over.
Right. My keys to the game, Mark Schlaer's keys to the game. Turnovers and points off turnovers.
The will to win. Chris Sale, he's a winner.
What an idiot. So they got to, I mean, but it's like, this is so cool that there's a team that has 42% more runs than anywhere else because of their field. So that's it. Do you have any last things?
I don't have any last things. I'm going to be, I guess I'm going to have to book a trip to the stadium once A-Rod hits his
Yo, you have
three
to.
Home runs. But the thing that's amazing about it is, think about it. The Yankees may actually release A-Rod. There's no point to having him anymore. He doesn't start versus right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
He's
They're gone. Only playing him against lefties, right?
Like, yeah, and he's been fucking... He's been just horrible. He's been, you know, 0-for-4 against the last two left-handed pitchers. So, they, you know, they basically just have a $30 million, I guess...
Schlub?
Yeah, schlub.
With bitch tits? No, not really.
Player coach.
You think he coaches people? He's like, all right, here's how you look like you care about the game when you're in the batter box. Purse your lips and grip the bat really hard.
I mean, apparently he's good with the young guys in the clubhouse, but for $30 million, I mean, well, you could just go hire, like, Hawk, you know?
You made a promise, so we'll see. We'll update the A-Rod home run chase and Tom's countdown to buying an Epic hat that he'll remember forever.
Do I have to go to another stadium if he's released and he starts for another team?
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. No, it just have to be Yankees. Maybe. So whatever promotional goodbye A-Rod hat they make, just some stupid one day only good for A-Rod hat that's $40 is your promise. That's it for the Cap Figure podcast. Follow, do all that.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, but first and foremost, go to your podcast app on your iOS or
it's on your phone already, you can't delete it, it's already there, podcast, and type in Cap Figure and then subscribe.
Yeah, hit subscribe and leave a review.
Tom's sunglasses just fell involuntarily, he had them leaning on his head and they fell down to his eyes as he said that. It was very swagged out, Tom, I must say.
Swag at an all-time high.
Alright, so...
The quill to win.
That'll do it.
Thanks for listening.
Number 5, Masahiro Tanaka.